Speak to you this morning on the subject of my name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. On Wednesday night, I gave a simple study on we are unique. And the last point that I shared was that we're unique because our names are recorded in heaven. And the thought that my name was recorded in heaven just went around my mind, and I thought, I need to speak on this subject. So this morning I'd like to look at that point a little further. My name, or our names, are written in heaven. I found 12 references referring to names being recorded in a book. Five of those were found in Revelation, one in Luke, one in Philippians, and five in the Old Testament. So this morning I'd like to look at 11 of those 12 references so that we can see the importance of having our names recorded in the books that are in heaven. And find out how our names could be removed, or in our case, not be removed. So what's the consequences of having our names not written in the book of life? Well, they're obviously too awful to contemplate. If you can imagine living your whole life and then standing before the living God, and the books are open, and your name's not there. What a tragedy that would be. So let's have a look at these 11 verses, or 11 passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Now, since we'll be looking at 11 of them, I don't anticipate you'll be able to get to them all, but I will read them to you. Revelation 20, 14 and 15. And the first verse says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So we have a reference here to the last judgment. This is the last judgment of the great tribulation, because the next verse goes on to refer to the new heavens and the new earth. And so these two verses are the last two verses of world history, we might say, being in that 7-year period of the great tribulation. And so after these people died, their names were checked in the book of life and they were found missing. Their names were not recorded in the book of life, and it says they were cast into the lake of fire. Again, what a tragedy that would be. Now, I'm of the opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the lake of fire and what we generally call hell are a description, or are the same description, or the same place. Now, I know it says that hell was cast into the lake of fire, and I don't wish to get into all the semantics of that. And we don't know everything about this. There's only 11 verses in the entire scripture. But that's my opinion, and I'll just stay with that for this message. So the second verse that we have of the 11 is found in Luke 10:19-20. Luke chapter 10, verses 19-20. And it says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We have a situation here where the 70 disciples have been sent out, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave them authority, and now they've returned, very excited about what happened. And one of the things that they're really excited about is that the spirits were subject to their powers. That the spirits were subject to their powers. And Jesus corrected their enthusiasm about spirits being under their authority by pointing them to the great privilege that they would have their names written in heaven. How many people today would love to have authority over spirits or have spirits under their control? Wouldn't that be a good thing for you to be able to have? Well, the Lord Jesus says, better to have your name written in heaven. Our names, my name, your name, trust is written in heaven. The third of the 11 verses is found in Daniel. So we're going back to the Old Testament. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now my understanding is that this is the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, and he foretells that there will be a time of trouble. And any of us that are aware of the tribulations in that great time would understand he was probably underestimating when he said a time of trouble. And so we find that in the church age, we've been raptured at this point of time. So during Daniel's 70th week, or during the Great Tribulation, the church, that is the believers in the church, won't be here on the earth. We'll be raptured and we'll be doing other things. Then it says that some people will be raised to everlasting life and some will be raised to everlasting contempt. So the question is, which will be raised to everlasting life and which will be raised to everlasting contempt? Well, it says those who are raised to everlasting life are the ones found written in the book. So right back in Daniel's time, this book, this list of names is there. And those people that were found written in the book were the ones that went on to everlasting life. We therefore assume those who went on to everlasting punishment were not found written in that book. Back to Revelation now for the fourth of our 11 verses. And this is Revelation 3:5. We're very early in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Says, I will not blot out his name. So this verse is directed at the Christians at the church at Sardis. And they were encouraged to hang on to their Christian faith because their reward would be eternal life. And they're advised that their names will not be blotted out of the book of life. So this leaves us with the possibility that names can be removed from the book of life. Names can be removed from the book of life. Well, I tried to come up with an explanation, and I have one. Whether it will stand the test of the scriptures, that's up to you to consider. I think when everyone is born, their names are recorded in a record of the living. If they die without being saved, their names are blotted out of the book. So as someone is born into the world, their names are recorded in a book of life or a book of the living, or some record is made. And so there's a continual record of all those people that have ever been born. But if they die without the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, their name is blotted out. When they're judged for eternal life, their names are checked, and if they're missing, they're cast into the lake of fire. Now, I can't say whether this is 100% accurate. We just don't have a lot of information. But it does answer the question about those being blotted out. Let's have a look at our fifth verse, Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So we have a situation here where Paul clearly believed that all of his fellow labourers, particularly those in Philippi, which is where this is recorded, names were written in the book of life. So he obviously considered that to be a reasonable thing, and I believe that all of the church, all of the saved people in Philippi were recorded in that book of life. And Paul's drawing attention to it. He's drawing attention to it in such a casual way that it was obviously common knowledge that this book of life existed. And if you were a saved person, your name was recorded there forever. The sixth verse. Revelation 21, 25 to 27. Revelation 21, 25 to 27. "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honour of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." These are preceding verses here. Are a description, or at least a part description, of the new heaven. And so in Revelation 21, we've got this description of what the new heaven would be like. And it says there'll be no night. The gates won't be shut. The nations will bring glory to it. But it says that nothing that's defiled, no abomination, anyone that tells a lie, they won't be there. They won't be in this new heaven. But those that will be there are those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, a very important point to have our names recorded in heaven permanently. So those who will inherit it, that's heaven, are those whose names are written in the Book of Life. The seventh verse. We're going back to the Old Testament. We're going back to Exodus. Exodus 32. Exodus 32 and verses 31 to 33. It says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." So way back in Exodus, way back in the Old Testament, we find a record of this book that is written. And obviously Moses' name was written in that book. And Moses was saying, if you're going to forgive this sin, then blot my name out of your book. And God said, no, I won't do that. But anyone that sins or sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book. So if we've committed sin, if we're sinners, then we can expect to be blotted out of that book. Let's have a look at the 8th verse. 8 of 11. We're in Psalms now. Psalm 69. 69, 27 to 28. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. So again, we have another verse that talks about people being blotted out of the book of the living. So back in Psalms, God declared that there's a book of the living and reveals to the writer that he, God, will blot out the unrighteous out of his book so that the names of the righteous and the unrighteous will not appear together. Another stern warning. Let's have a look at our 9th verse, 9 of 11. Back in Revelation again. Remember, 5 of these are recorded in Revelation. Revelation 13, verses 6 to 8. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So again, in this tribulation time, we find that the enemies of God are in control. They're blaspheming against God's name. They're blaspheming against God, against his tabernacle, and against all those that dwell in heaven. And it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, we have to remember that the church is not here. The church is raptured. The church is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the time of the great tribulation. And then it goes on to say, and all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. The almost entire worship going on to the enemies of God. And those that worship with him and have this power are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life. So they're not going to be in heaven. They're not going to be with the righteous. They're going to die with the unrighteous. So now we have a reference to those whose names are not written in the book of life. The assumption is that they've been removed. Let's have a look at 10 of 11. Revelation 17, 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we have another reference now to those whose names are not recorded in the book of life. And again, this is in the time of the great tribulation, and it appears again that their names have been removed by God from that book. So that brings us to verse 11 of 11, Malachi 3, 16 to 18. Malachi 3, 16 to 18. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So again, there's in the last book of the Old Testament, there's this parallel between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the wicked and the not wicked. Him that loves and serves God compared to him that doesn't love and doesn't serve God. And it says that there's a book of remembrance. Now, I can't tell you the difference between the book of life and the book of remembrance, but it's written down, it's in heaven, and God recorded it. So those who feared the Lord were recorded in a book of remembrance. And it was so that they could discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So again, there's this contrast of those who are written in the book of life, those who are not written in the book of life, those who have been blotted out of the book of life. What can we conclude from these 11 verses? Well, firstly, we can conclude that there's a written record of names recorded in a book in heaven. We can be sure of that. We can also be sure that those whose names are not found written in that book are cast into the lake of fire. The Lord wants us to rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven. So we're to praise Him and to tell Him and to thank Him that our names are recorded in heaven. The Apostle Paul believed that the names of his fellow labourers were recorded in that book in heaven. Those whose names are written in the book of life will inherit heaven. The unrighteous will be blotted out of the book. And there are some whose names are not written in the book of life, and I'm assuming that they were taken out by God, but I can't prove that. How does one keep their name in the book of life? If our names are recorded when we're born and they're removed if we die in unrighteousness, how can we guarantee to keep our name written in that book of life? Well, I've got the answer: to be found righteous in the sight of God. We need to be found righteous in the sight of God. So who are the righteous? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good. We're all sinners. So who then become the righteous? Well, those that are born of the Spirit of God would be righteous, wouldn't they? Those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in their hearts by faith would be considered righteous. We who believe and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation, our only salvation, our only ever possible salvation, those people's names are recorded in the book in heaven. So once we're saved, once we invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart by faith, our names are secured. They cannot be removed. Isn't that lovely to think that if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, our names cannot be removed from the book of life? So we need to continually rejoice. We need to be continually telling people, telling ourselves, encouraging each other that my name, that your name is written in that book in heaven. Now, of course, that begs the question, what if you're not sure? What if this morning you're sitting here thinking, oh, I'm not sure that I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'm not sure that the Spirit of God dwells in my heart by faith. I'm not sure that I've been born again. Well, this morning would be a perfect opportunity for you, if you're feeling that way, if you believe, not sure, to speak to someone. Speak to Pastor Mitchell. Speak to Mrs. Mitchell. Speak to your parents. Speak to someone that you know is saved. I can remember Stephen sharing his testimony at Adult Fellowship. It took him several years to say that he was definitely saved. And he said he didn't know who to go to, who to ask. But the Lord sorted it out in his life. I was 20 when I was saved. Went to Sunday school when I was 4. Became a Sunday school teacher when I was 16. I wasn't saved till I was 20. But going to church, going to Sunday school, going to youth group does not automatically save you. certainly gives you a great opportunity. Let me read the following verses in closing. Luke 10:19-20 again. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." What a privilege we have. Thank you. Brother Philip, would you like to come and close the service, please?